Chapter 20. We must prove now the second reason why God's visions and locutions, although always true in themselves, are not always certain for us. This uncertainty is due to the causes on which they are founded. God's affirmations are frequently founded upon creatures and their effects, which are liable to change and failure, and consequently, words based on these creatures can also change and fail. If one factor upon which another is dependent fails, the other fails too. For example, if God were to say that in a year he would send a plague upon the kingdom because of an offense committed against him there, and if the offense were to cease or change, the punishment could be withheld. Yet the warning would be true, since it was based on the actual fault. And if the fault were to continue, the threatened punishment would be executed. This happened in the city of Nineveh, when God proclaimed, 40 days from now Nineveh will be razed. This did not happen, because the cause of the threat, their sins, ceased on account of the penance that was done. But if they had not done penance, the warning would have been carried out. We also read in the third book of Kings that when King Achab had committed a very serious sin, God, through our holy father, Elias, sent him a message threatening severe punishment on his person, his house, and his kingdom. And because Achab rent his garments with grief, put on a hair shirt, fasted, slept in sackcloth, and went about sad and humbled, God once more sent this prophet to him with these words: "Insofar as Achab has humbled himself for love of me, I will not in his days send the evil that I spoke of, but in those of his son." Evidently then, because Achab changed his conduct and disposition, God also altered his sentence. We can thus deduce for our purpose here that although God may have revealed or affirmed some fact to a person, whether it is good or bad, or concerns this person or another, it can become greater or less, or change, or be taken away entirely, according to the variation of this person's tendency or of the cause upon which it is based. Thus the event may not turn out as expected, and frequently no one but God knows why. God usually affirms, teaches, and promises many things, not so that there be an immediate understanding of them, but that afterwards, at the proper time, or when the effect is produced, one may receive light almost about them. Christ acted this way with his disciples. He told them many parables and maxims, which they did not understand until the time for preaching had come, when the Holy Spirit descended upon them. As Christ affirmed, the Holy Spirit was to explain to them all that he had taught them during his life. St. John, speaking of Christ's entrance into Jerusalem, states, "As a result, many particular works of God can come to pass in a soul, which neither the soul nor its director can understand until the appropriate time." In the first book of Kings, we also read that God, angered because Heli, the priest of Israel, failed to punish his sons for their sins, sent Samuel to him with, among other messages, the following one: "Certainly, I have said before that your house and the house of your father will continually minister to me in the priesthood and in my presence forever. Yet this proposal is very far from me. I shall not bring it about. Since the ministry of the priesthood is based on rendering honor and glory to God, God promised it to Heli's father forever. When Heli lacked zeal for the honor of God, because, as God himself complained, he gave more honor to his sons than to God, dissimulating their sins so as not to reprove them, the promise also failed. It would have been kept forever if their good service and zeal had been enduring. We should not think, therefore, that because revelations and locutions have a divine origin, and especially if they are dependent on human changeable causes, they will infallibly eventuate according to their literal meaning. Although God knows when these locutions and revelations are dependent on human causes, he does not always manifest it, but in his communication of the locution or revelation, he will remain silent about the condition. Such was the case when he told the Ninevites definitely that they would be destroyed after 40 days. At other times he declared, as he did in Rehoboam, "If you keep my commandments as my servant David did, I will also be with you as I was with him, and I will build you a house as I did my servant David." Whether God discloses the conditional element or not, a person cannot find assurance in his own interpretation, because he is incapable of comprehending the secret truths and the diverse meaning of God's sayings. God is above the heavens and speaks from the depths of eternity. We on this earth are blind and understand only the ways of the flesh and of time. This, I believe, is why the wise men said, "God is above the heavens, and you upon the earth. Therefore do not be prolix or careless in speech." You will perchance ask, if we are not to understand or meddle with them, why does God communicate them? I have already mentioned that by order of him who spoke, everything will be understood at the opportune time, and he whom God wills shall understand clearly that so it was fitting, since God does nothing without cause and truth. But believe me, a person cannot completely grasp the meaning of God's locutions and deeds, nor can he determine this by appearances without extreme error and bewilderment. The prophets entrusted with the word of God were well aware of this. Prophecy for them was a severe trial, because, as we affirmed, the people observed that a good portion of the prophecy did not come true according to the literal meaning. As a result, the people jibed and mocked the prophets excessively. It reached such a point that Jeremiah exclaimed, "They mock me all day long. Everyone scoffs at and despises me, because for a long time now I have cried out against iniquity and promised them destruction. and the Lord's word has become a reproach to me and a mockery all the time. And I said, I do not have to remember him, nor speak any more his name. Jeremiah 27:9. Although the holy prophets spoke with resignation and in the semblance of a weak man unable to suffer the changes, the changing ways of God, he teaches us the difference between the fulfillment of the divine locutions and their common literal sense. The prophets were considered seducers, and they endured such suffering because of their prophecies that Jeremiah also proclaims in another place, prophecy has become for us fear, snares, and contradictions of spirit. When God sent Jonah as the preacher of the destruction of Nineveh, he fled because of his knowledge of the diverse meanings and causes of God's locutions. Lest the people should make fun of him when his prophecy was unfulfilled, he fled from prophesying and waited outside the city for the entire 40 days to see if his prophecy would be fulfilled. Since it was not, he became extremely afflicted, to such an extent that he said to God, I beseech you, Lord, was not this perhaps what I said when in my country? On this account, I was contradictory and fled into Tharsis. And the saint became angry and petitioned God to take away his life. Why then should we be surprised if God's locutions and revelations do not materialize as expected? Suppose God affirms or represents to an individual some promise, good or bad, pertaining to the person himself or to another. If this promise is based on certain causes, devotion or service rendered to God, or offense committed against him, now or in the future, and these causes remain, the promise will be accomplished. But since the duration of these causes is uncertain, the fulfillment of the promise is too. One should seek assurance, therefore, not in understanding, but in faith. Chapter 21. Some spiritual persons, as we said, convince themselves that their curiosity to know certain things through supernatural means is good because God sometimes answers these petitions. They think this conduct is good and pleasing to God because he responds to their urgent request. Yet the truth is that regardless of God's reply, such behavior is neither good nor pleasing to God. Rather, he is displeased, not only displeased, but frequently angered until deeply offended. The reason lies in the illicitness and transcending the natural boundaries God has established for the governing of creatures. He has fixed natural and rational limits by which man is to be ruled. A desire to transcend them, hence, is unlawful, and to desire to investigate and arrive at knowledge in a supernatural way is to go beyond the natural limits. It is unlawful, consequently, and God, who is offended by everything illicit, is displeased. King Achab knew this well, for although Isaiah told him to ask in God's name for some sign, he was unwilling to do so. I will not ask for such a thing, nor shall I tempt God. For to tempt God is to desire communication with Him in extraordinary and supernatural ways. You will say, if it is true that God is to desire communication with Him in extraordinary supernatural ways.